All right, I got to get out of here.
Go.
The John Connolly and Sherry Ellicker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Hello.
I don't know what that last little part was, but maybe some sort of secret signal to Sherry or something like that. Here we go, the John Curley, Sherry Ellinger show. And here comes Sherry. Whoa. Anxious to talk Seahawks. Obviously, you were tuning in over the weekend, got a chance to see the Seahawks take the Lions down.
With Scorigami, no less.
Oh, my God. A little bit of knowledge on your part. Very dangerous. I talked to Rye after he was on. He's like, God, Dad, I never know where that segment is going to go. Sherry brings up all sorts of emotional things, and then it gets all awkward.
I don't. I think you usually set it up, and then by the time Rye comes on, you begin to ask him a question about something that maybe you feel a little bit, I don't know, apprehensive about with his upbringing, and then it mushrooms into a big old therapy session.
Well, for those that didn't get a chance to tune in on Friday, shame on you. And that kind of empty, lonely feeling you had throughout the weekend was because of it. You listen to the podcast, but Sherry brought up in the middle of Rye talking sports, hey, how about that hurricane? Are you okay? And did your dad check in? And then it became this whole thing, no, I didn't. And I tried to explain that we have sort of a hands-off, you know, attitude about natural disasters and family members, and that didn't work either. But let's just try to keep it only on sports. Here we go.
Okay.
Talking sports with Rye. He's your go-to guy for any game or feat of athleticism. Talking sports with Rye. Give the guy a try, although he only got his job from nepotism. He'll tell you the score, holding a 2x4, and have the crowd cheering, begging, asking him for more. Yeah, we're talking sports with Rye.
Yeah. All right. The reason people are talking to you, you're holding, giving a score of the holding a 2x4 because you work at Home Depot. We understand you've moved your precious lunch hour over in order to do this, Rye. So we appreciate you making, you know, enormous sacrifices for us.
I feel like that was sarcastic. And yeah, I was going to preface this with I'm on the clock. So if this isn't as thorough as I usually like it to be, my excuse is that I've been, you know, cutting wood all day, holding 2x4s and such.
Right.
And that you're hungry because you haven't gotten to eat because you're doing this instead of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also true.
All excuses in. Here you are in your prediction on Friday. Hold on.
Oh, no.
The stats don't totally agree with that. But just watching him last week, he seems to be comfortable getting the ball to his playmakers. Rushing offense, 7th in the league, and the Seahawks rushing defense is pretty first. So this is going to be ugly. We just got a lot of players who aren't really NFL starter caliber yet, but they're being asked to start due to injuries and just lack of depth. So again, I think the Seahawks get shellacked in this one. I'm going to be bold here and say Detroit drops 41 on us. And we might get a garbage time touchdown, maybe a field goal here and there. I'll go 41-31.
Now, we should say that shellac is a Home Depot term, right, in the lumber department.
And was that the report that Rye filed from the bathroom?
Okay, Sherry, I didn't know if Jacob would get it soon enough. Everybody taking shots at everybody, all right? I can't wait for the teeny tiny to get in here and just flip you off again. I didn't know if Jacob would find it fast enough, so I found it on my phone because that's what you do, okay? That's what you do when you're a professional. Look it up. All right, Roller, so they didn't exactly get shellacked, but you were correct in that it would be a high-scoring game. How come you knew it would be a high-scoring game? I'm at least trying to cover your mistake here by giving you credit for something.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that was accurate. And one of the good things about picking against your own team is it's a win-win, because if they lose, you look smart. And if they win, you know what? Your team won, and that's a good thing. But, yeah, I knew it was going to be high scoring because the Lions defense – sorry, I'm in the parking lot for the truck. But that's the right. Lions defense, not very good. banged up in the secondary. And then we all know I've been harping about the Seahawks defense since week one. So, and I knew both quarterbacks were capable. I just didn't expect Geno Smith to be that capable. I mean, our offense didn't punt the whole game. And let me just say, this was a garbage game. It looked like some crap you'd watch, you know, on ESPN 50, some college football game where it's two schools that just didn't try at all on defense. And it's just whoever has the ball last is going to win. So it's not really my style of football. But it was exciting. And, I mean, Geno Smith, again, 300-plus yards. And Detroit, I mean, with a lot of injuries, they had a bunch of no-name practice squad guys out there still ripped us apart. But there are a lot of positives about this. It's a win. We're back to 500. And I think our offense looked really, really elite in that game.
Yeah. So let me ask you just real quick. So is this the Penny that we've been waiting to see?
Hold on. And Penny gets a handoff, and there he goes. The 30, the 20. He's going to score 10, 5, touchdown, Seahawks. What a play call by the Seahawks sidelines. What a play by the blockers up front on a third down and 16. And Penny just explodes through the line, and he is gone. Touchdown, 36 yards.
Okay. So this, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That plays into my other point. Even the officiating was bad. We had a third and 16. Third and 16, we run a play, but the officials screwed up the play clock or whatever. They didn't properly reset it. So even though we ran a play and they stopped us on third and 16, we got another try just because of the officials' mistake. And Detroit, on the first third and 16, the initial one, they ran an all-out blitz, or it looked like they sent six. And then on the next one, they did the exact same thing. Like, what? This is like Bush League. So we were like, how about we just run the ball? We'll get them all caught with their ears pinned back, and we'll score. So it was, you just don't see that sort of rudimentary, just predictable play calling in the NFL. And, I mean, hey, it worked out. Rashad Penny, yes, this is the Penny we've been waiting for. And but yeah, I just thought that was funny. Like, just a mess all around.
I'm surprised the Lions haven't done more to file some sort of grievance against the referees and that particular call. They screwed up. It was their mistake. And then they let the Seahawks run again and have the ball again. You could tell that the folks in the Lions seemed gobsmacked by that. And even the announcers were like, these officials seem to be very slow making these calls. There was a lot of delay. After they'd throw the flag, they'd all get together and sort of talk about it. And then they'd kind of come back around and make the call, you know, either positive or negative, depending on what side of the field you were on. Sherry, did you have any questions for Rye coming up regarding the Saints, the much hated Saints?
Yeah, I do. Actually, looking ahead to New Orleans, do you think that Geno can sustain his hot hand against the Saints' top 10 passing defense?
You know what? That is a great question. And I feel like I've been negative on the Seahawks this year. So I'm going to go bold again and say he can. The Saints are a really good defensive, a great pass defense just because they match up so well personnel-wise. They've got a lot of talent on the back end, and they don't do anything super, you know, like super special as far as defensive scheme goes, but they just have guys that can stop the other team's guys, put it simply. So, but I'm going to go with Geno Smith can. I like the way we got into some two tight end, three tight end sets, keep the defense honest, and then just let Geno do what he's risk averse. He can get the ball out. He can, you know, totally manage the game. And he might not throw for 300 yards. Well, I'm actually going to go ahead and say he will not throw for 300 yards. That's not going to happen. But he will limit mistakes, and he will give us a chance to win this game if our defense doesn't, which I'm assuming they will not.
Rye, just if you'd care to admit it on the air, are you betting again this year like you did last year?
No, I am not betting. I cannot do that. I am not 21. but I'm keeping track of my wins and losses just in my head. There's no financial stake in this for me other than, you know, like pride.
That's funny because normally people age chronologically. They go, you know, 19, 20, 21. Mm-hmm. And I remember last year you were betting and you were younger last year. So
younger and dumber. I didn't realize how hard it is.
What do you mean by hard?
Well, it's a lot harder than a lot of people would think to bet on sports and make any money. So I learned my lesson, and now I have stopped doing that. But if I were, I would take the Saints -5. I think that would be that.
If you were.
But the big story is Rye still owes his dad a whole bunch of money. Because he kept the money that he was supposed to spend on the apartment. And instead, he betted on football games. And now every month, Rye sends his father $500.
I was wondering when the non-sport. Yeah.
Can I get a range of how much you might owe your dad? Is it like between, say, 1,000 and 20,000, or is it less than that?
Less than 1,000 to 20,000.
Yeah, less than 20,000.
It's less than 20,000. It's okay. Less than 20,000. But let's just say I'm, you know, clock in on my lunch break for a reason.
Okay. Oh, this is payment, too. This is part of the repayment.
No, Jerry, you missed the joke. He's clocked in on his lunch break, meaning, like, he's getting paid for lunch because he still owes me money. You got it?
I thought it was also because he's doing this because he owes you money.
No,
that
no,
too.
Sherry.
Okay,
Sherry.
I got it. Got it.
Rye's writing questions for you, telling jokes. If he has to write responses to the jokes, he can do that too.
Okay, I got it.
Please laugh.
Got it.
Please laugh. All right, did we get a final prediction? Yes, we did. Got that. Who wins?
Saints will win on Sunday.
Okay. Cookies coming your way.
Cookies coming my way. Should I give a score?
Yeah, go.
Well, okay. But what are we going to talk about on Friday?
Wait, what do you mean? Huh?
What are we going to talk to him about on Friday if he tells us the score?
Yeah, it's only Monday. The game's not till what, Sunday?
I think me and my dad have more personal issues we can talk about on the radio on Friday.
Sports with Rye. All right, we'll talk to you Friday.
Okay, see ya.
Get back to
love,
work.
Love.
Love, love. Love,
right, right. I mean, ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Jeez, whiz. Goodbye. Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny. When he did start that betting thing, he didn't tell me that he was doing it, and then, like, after about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm doing really well. It's like, what? Yeah, I'm just doing really well. It's betting stuff. And then all of a sudden, I noticed a few things. Missing.
You mean like around the house or?
No, like in around my bank account.
Oh. Well, you know, you can't owe other people money. It's okay to owe your dad money, but you can't owe other people money. That's trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, a good lesson learned. And the nice thing is he is paying me back. So every month I get another $500 from him.
And then you send that money directly to Sully, I presume. So.
Touché.
Now that is funny. Sherry, I don't know if you wrote that joke for Jacob.
Yeah, no. I did, but I wasn't going to take credit. Yes, I did.
That's a goodie. And, you know, that it's funny. You know, that's just a fun thing we do to everybody. If you have no idea what we're talking about, don't worry about it. It's never going to come up again, Jacob. by the way, the Kraken now have unveiled their new mascot, the troll named Buoy, as in like a buoy out there, you know, stay to the right of the buoy. Light screens, stay right, left, right, buoy out there in the bay. All of these mascots all basically look the same, like they stuck it into a blender and spun it around and then, you know, it pops up. Big googly eyes, big mouth, silly whatever, and then, you know, kind of soft. You can just tell, okay, how can we make this into a stuffed animal that somebody wants to buy?
But this one's kind of cool. It's got a number zero on his jersey. His left ear has a gold anchor. He has an anchor earring. Mm-hmm. And he can pop out one of his front teeth. He can skate. Now, he can dance.
You're very anybody. This is not just a an amateur analysis of a mascot, because you have been a mascot numerous times. In fact, you might even be in a mascot costume right now while we're talking to you.
I am
dressed as an aging radio host. Yes, your talkie is the name of your character.
I looked it up, and do you know there are no female mascots for men's professional sports teams? None.
I thought that the Mets have their mascot as a wife.
Something like that, but there's no main buoy. I mean, they could have made it Betty or something, but they didn't. They went with it's always boys. And the research shows that they think that female mascots would do better because they're so kid friendly. Like, kids would be more likely to go up to a female mascot because they would feel safer around it.
Like what? Like dressed as a princess or something like that? I mean, all of these things are supposed to be slightly intimidating.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I know that the Philadelphia Flyers did this thing where they did this fake mascot called Cuddles. And they kind of took Cuddles out there and made fun of him and everything. And they said that was the Kraken's new website. This was before. So
right.
That type of thing, if it were more of a, I don't know, like cuddly maybe or something, or girly. But I know that's not the point of a mascot. I was just sort of surprised that there wasn't a single female one out there.
Like, how about a Raggedy Ann doll?
You
want it to be just a giant Raggedy Ann doll? And like, oh, and here comes Raggedy Ann to strike fear into the opposing team.
Well, no, what if you had like a roller derby type girl, somebody tough and fast?
Yeah.
Are you just trying to get a job for yourself, Sherry? Are you tired of this one?
Really, you're desperate on your part. Can we just, Jacob, send her some cookies she could sell somewhere.
Okay.
Wow.
Just a thought. Just a thought. That's all. We're all trying
sounds
to be
like
inclusive
more than
these
thought.
Days.
Sounds like a desperate plea to me.
Okay. All right, you caught me. I am trying to be a hockey mascot. I said it. Boom, it's out there. Color me guilty.
I remember we did this celebrity hockey match, and I didn't play hockey, so I had my brother-in-law get dressed as, and everybody had to come as a mascot, and I got him a costume. He came as a potato, because my friend had a costume left over from a potato, bonsai potato thing he used to sell. Mike Dillon used to. So we had a big bonsai potato costume. And the poor other mascot that was out there, one thing worse than the potato, was Mr. Softy, the ice cream cone, that the costume went just above his knees. He had no arms. So he's out there with this giant head shaped like a Mr. Softy ice cream with no arms. So he didn't have a stick. And everyone checked him, because all he did was skate around with his giant smile on his face, just getting completely wiped out across the ice.
And the a potato can wipe out a soft ice cream cone any day of the week.
Oh, I mean, over
that's just
and
not
over.
Even a
you know
fight.
That. You know that. As a female first hockey mascot, you know how it works. All right. Here's Mickey with a look at traffic. Get us home safely. The John Curley Sherry Elliger Show. You like that?
Very nice.
I thought you'd riff like that. You write to us at mynorthwest.com, and you come on in through state roofing text line 1-888-973-5-76. All right. Just text Rye. Always likes to know that he did a good job. I'm sure he's... He appreciates the fact that we bring up all sorts of personal stuff.
I'm sure he does.
About 2 years ago, the FAA said, "Hey, we're gonna talk to you people over there at Boeing and Airbus about the size of your seats, going from 18 inches to 17 inches. The things are getting smaller and smaller, and people getting fatter and fatter. We're gonna do something about it. You better look out. We're gonna come talk to you." They still haven't done anything, and now I think in August they announced that they're taking public input. It's a public comment period to find out how big the seats need to be. They had 300 volunteers go and test these things with a slight, leaning back 28 degrees or 30 degrees, 17 inches, 18 inches. And where are we at this point? Are we going to have more comfort, less comfort?
Well, the FAA is open to new regulations, but the airline industry obviously is not, because they don't want to have to redesign their planes or their seats. But what they found is that Americans have gotten so much fatter. They're 30 pounds heavier than they were in the 1960s. So the average weight is about 198 pounds. And 40% of Americans, they say, are obese. Now, you couple that with the fact that the airplane seat has shrunk. It was about 18.5 inches before. Now it's 17. The distance between the front and the back, you know, in between seats, went from, it used to be about 35. Now it's 31. And in some planes, it's 28. So the criteria that they use, John, is they say if they can get out of the seat in 90 seconds for safety reasons, then we're okay. And so
Of the seat or out of the plane?
Out of the seat. Get up out of your seat into the aisle. So if you can do that in 90 seconds, then there's no need to change the design of the seat. And a lot of people are saying, well, there's other factors that go into that. If people are really crammed in there, let's say, even if they can get up, you know, they might be stiff. They might not be able to, you know, do what they have to do in an emergency. Oh. That comfort is linked to safety in its own way.
Okay, an Olympic runner can make it all the way around a 400-meter track in about the time they're saying it takes somebody to stand up out of a seat?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I would assume if there's something seriously wrong with a plane, adrenaline would kick in, and people wouldn't be like, oh, my aching back. Hang on a second. Whoa, creaky cracky. I'm getting whoop, whoop. No, you would pop up. I don't care how. Or the sea of humanity rushing to the exit, would you just be caught up in that, and you would either be run over or you'd be pushed through? And I'm always amazed. It's like, oh, yeah, only in the event of an emergency landing and then, you know, here are the exits. Do you think people would be able to get out of that plane?
Well, they call it the 90-second evacuation standard. So okay. I'm not sure if it means when they talk about evacuating, meaning getting up from the seat and getting into the aisle, or 90 seconds to evacuate an entire plane. That seems even more absurd that they would be able to get a plane, you know, emptied in 90 seconds. It seems more that by the time they tell you what to do, that you're up and out and in the aisle in 90 seconds. But that's what that's what they say, the evacuation standard.
Yeah, I would assume. I think it's off the plane, not to a standing position.
90 seconds to get everybody off the plane?
That's all the exits.
Unbelievable.
Sherry, red lights lead to green lights and lead to exits. Your nearest exit might be behind you. Please identify it prior to taking off. Yeah, they've got the two on the wings, then you got the one in the back, and then you got the one up front. For all the first class people, I'd be the first one out. Then I would go back in around the back and help other people.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, even if you were in the back, you'd be the first one out.
No, I would go back and help people. That'd be my thing.
Well, that would be very nice of you to do that. That would be the noble thing to do.
I would pick them up in a fireman's carry them off the plane. You know, a fireman's carry, so you grab the wrist, and then you reach underneath between their legs, you lift them up, put them over your back. I'd run them off the plane, and then while I still have them in my over my back like that, I'd be running around trying to get to the nearest camera.
To show that you're a hero?
Yes. Yeah.
Because you are. Aren't you a fireman yet, by the way? Just an aside.
I have the 4 pages filled out, so I'm practically, I can smell
pages.
Smoke.
You've had those 4 pages for 4 months now. When are you becoming
Sherry,
a fireman?
I don't want to rush in there. That's the other thing you learn as a fireman. You got to be very, very judicious.
That's what you've learned so far.
Rushing. Just, you know, you don't.
When you're evacuating a plane.
Survey the situation. So you fill out, and I'm still thinking because I've got like 9 or 12 lines still left blank when it says, what honors have you received in the community? And I'm like, I got like 2 things. So then all these extra blank lines just staring at me. So I think I might just pick up a few more, you know, community awards or something like that.
Wait, so you're going to wait around till you get an award? Are you working on that part of it, getting the award?
I had somebody spend the night at my cabin while I was away over the weekend, like a VRBO. I might throw a couple of letters around, Airbnb. And I told them to go to Cole Shoot and have dinner, and they had a great time. And that, in a way, is like an award. They went there and had a good time. So I might put in the fireman application some of the reviews I'm receiving on VRBO.
Okay.
But about how much they enjoyed the Caesar salad. And
how much they how much they enjoyed a meal that you didn't cook? At a restaurant that you simply recommended.
I recommended. That is a community service.
How many restaurants are there even you could recommend in your little town? Like three?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I ran into Cole Shoot and picked one of them up in a fireman car and then ran him out of the building.
In 90 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate to interrupt to explain that John is right about something.
This news.
But I looked up the regulation. The FAA mandates that the maximum seating capacity of the airplane can be evacuated to the ground under simulated emergency conditions within 90 seconds. So apparently it is to the ground.
It is out. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Off the thing. Yeah, Sherry's like getting up out of the seat.
Well, I figured out. I'm slow.
What the hell?
It would take me 90 seconds to figure out that we were in danger.
What are you putting away your Parcheesi board?
I'm putting my lipstick on. I'm like,
my knitting needles out.
Yeah, she's always playing Battleship with her seatmate, and so it's a lot to take apart.
90 seconds goes by fast. I'd be like, wait a minute, do I need my purse? You know, I'd be like looking around for stuff, getting my shoes on. Okay, I'm coming. Wait.
Bring out your dog underneath the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. We're wasting. This is valuable Mickey time.
Oh, thank you so much.
Here we go, Mickey. This is a kooky story. So there's an app that is it a church put this thing out? Sherry, is this organized by some other group?
No, it's something that a church uses and encourages people to put on their devices so they can keep an eye out on what you're doing. This particular church is called Grace Point Congregation, and it's asking certainly the people that work for them to do this, but also some other congregation members. It's an app called Covenant Eyes, and it's an anti-porn app. And what it does is it takes a screenshot and monitors what you're looking at. And then it reports to someone called an accountability partner. So let's say that I'm your accountability partner. Then I would call you and say, John, do you have something you'd like to share with me? Hey,
how you doing? Are you going to be at the church social this Saturday?
I am, and I can't wait to see you. But listen,
I made
John,
a whole bunch of cookies by hand. You know how I like to make cookies by hand? You know, making the dough. I knead the dough by hand, and I put in ingredients, and sometimes I just put in extra bits of chocolate. And I'm going to have my cookies, and I'm going to have a lot of the other things that I make by hand there. So what do you want to call about?
Well, here's the thing, John. I'd like to give you the opportunity to tell me if there's something you'd like to confess to. Is there something you'd like to get off your mind or your plate that maybe you don't feel so good about?
Are you calling about the porn app that I put on my phone?
Yes, I am. I am calling about that and all the other porn apps that you have on your phone.
Yeah, well, the porn app I put on there. And I know that I was supposed to feel bad about it. But Doug... Steve had me be his sort of porn guy to shame him, and it tells me every time he's looking at something, and what I'm looking at, what he's looking at, I'm like, wow, I don't know where he found these sites. So it has really worked out for both of us. Anyway, do you want us to include you in our little, we've got a lot of thing, kind of little porn group now?
No, I think that defeats the purpose of why we're doing this, John. We're trying to keep an eye on you to make sure that you are not doing something very shameful in the eyes of the church.
Well, you understand, I watch it, and then in between watching it, I bake cookies by hand. Is that going to be a problem for you?
Yeah, that's a really big problem for me, and I imagine for anyone else that wants to eat one of your cookies. We're not trying to make you feel bad, John. We're just trying to help you.
Oh, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, as your accountability partner, it's my responsibility to point out to you that I have been monitoring you as you look at these sites, and I happen to know and can track every time you go to one of these things.
How embarrassing. How embarrassing, because I normally am only on him for about 2 minutes. Is that what you're calling about? How long I'm watching for?
Two minutes several times a day. So it's 2 minutes. And then another 2 minutes and another 2 minutes. And I don't know where do you find the time to make the cookies? I'm just wondering. It's a lot, John.
Balance everything. Sometimes I'm just doing both things at the same time. Hey, listen, the oven is beeping. I got to go. Mm-hmm. I'm making some more. I got some banana bread I'm going to bring by on Saturday.
All right. Peace be with you.
Picnic. And also with you. Scene.
That's how it works. All right. That was good.
Thank you, Jacob. Print it.
All right.